because Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we'll be. If you found it, if you're willing and able to stand with me in honor of God's word, we'll read out of Luke chapter 1 and start in verse 26. The Bible says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." The title of the message tonight is Submitting to God's Will Bring Peace. Submitting to God's will bring peace. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you and thank you for your love for us. And I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight as we get in your word, that you would just give me the words to say. Help me to have liberty to preach. Help us to open our hearts and our minds, what you have for us. There are needs here I cannot meet. Thankful for people who are faithful to your house. And I pray your blessing upon them and their families for it. And we know, Lord, honoring you will bring blessings. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Some are tired. Some are, I've had a long week. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help them with that, and then difficulties and challenges beyond those things in life. And Lord, we just need you tonight, and help us understand some lessons that we see here in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Submitting to God's will brings peace. How many of you heard the phrase, a happy wife means a happy what? Life. I didn't hear any amens on that. I'll tell you, it's true. To an extent, I tease a little bit, I just there, but at the same time, when my wife is happy, I'm happy. And when she's not, I still need to be happy, but it's a lot easier when she's happy. Let's put it that way. Amen? And it is very true in that regard. And so, you know, when we think about having blessings and having peace, I mean, life can be stressful. Life can be difficult. Life can be hard. It has challenges even this week. You face some of those things. Coming into the Christmas season that's supposed to be all sorts of joy and happiness, and with all the lights and the decorations and the presents and the planning and the family and all these things, you can get stressed, and you do. I mean, I don't want to sound cliche tonight. I really, really do not want to sound cliche. It does sound cliche because it can be, and oftentimes it is. But I also want to say this. It is very true that, as Brother Hunter mentioned in his prayer, that we can absolutely miss what Christmas is all about because of everything else in life that just gets in the way and clouds what's going on. And we celebrate Christmas, but we're not celebrating Christ of Christmas. And we get excited about all of these different things that surround Christmas that can easily distract us from what Christmas is all about. Is that not true? It is. I don't want to sound cliche. I really don't. And I almost avoided even mentioning this just because of how cliche it sounds. But then I just impressed on my heart just the stress and the craziness and the tiredness that people get. And we ought to be Christians who have smiles on our faces. Amen. And that's coming from a guy who, my happy face looks like a frown. My wife would be like, smile. I'm like, I am. She's like, what? I look in the mirror. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm not smiling, am I? And we can just, so many things go on in our lives that cause us
to be discouraged, or to look discouraged, or to act discouraged, or to be discouraging to other people. And that ought not to be said of God's people. We ought to have the joy of the Lord, and we ought to encourage one another and have something that's attractive to a lost and dying world, and have something that is attractive to Christians who might be struggling for legitimate reasons. But we'll let things get in the way and discourage us. There's a lot that, I mean, it's supposed to be filled with peace and happiness, but it becomes a holiday of worry and stress in our lives. And I'm not trying to beat anybody up or give anybody a guilt trip on that. I'm just as guilty of that as anybody else. Somebody said, to perceive Christmas through its hustle and bustle becomes more difficult with every year. And I want to avoid that. So let's look at some scripture. Some of these you have to jot down. I'm going to have you turn to Isaiah 9, and I'm going to have you turn to Daniel 9. Two easy ones to remember there. Isaiah 9 and Daniel 9. I'll read some others as we go along. But Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. If we want to avoid these things, and I don't just mean in this Christmas season. I mean in our lives. If we want to avoid the stress, if we want to avoid the... when stress comes our way, or when busyness comes our way, or when challenges come our way, when tiredness comes our way, we ought to look up to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we've got to turn our focus upward to the one in whose birth we celebrate. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, I had it, and then I turned the page back the other direction. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." These are wonderful words here. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called" what? Wonderful. Say it with me. "Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This is what we ought to think about when we think of the birth of Jesus Christ. This ought to be our focus. Don't let anything take your focus off of this truth right here. Because the truth is that Jesus came for us. The truth is that he came to save a lost and dying world. The truth is that for the believer, he came to bring peace. And the scripture teaches these things. This promises of peace in the word of God. I love Romans 1:7. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have" what? "Peace with God." Thank you, Brother Hunter. He's here tonight through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all" what? "Understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Jesus, his coming was foretold. His coming was prophesied by our sovereign God. And in Luke chapter 1, we see Mary received a special visit from an angel named Gabriel. And the mention of Gabriel's name wasn't random. The mention of Gabriel's name wasn't just something that was just kind of thrown there just for extra information. The mention of Gabriel's name had purpose to it, because in Daniel chapter 9, if you'll turn there, right after Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 24. This was the same angel who had come to Daniel 550 years earlier to give a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. 550 years. That's crazy. That's awesome. Amen. Pastor, that's awesome. Yes, it is. It's awesome. It is amazing. 550 years. This same Gabriel. I don't know if he knew, I don't think he knew 550 years before that he was going to be the one that came to Mary and said, "I told you he was coming, and well, here he is. You're pregnant with him." I mean, I don't know that Gabriel knew that. Of course, he's not omniscient. God might have given him some insight. We don't have any information that God gave him some insight on that. But I think it's pretty awesome for Gabriel. I mean, you know, he got to prophesy about it, and now he gets to say it. Here he is. But here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 82 weeks. the street shall be built again, and the wall, even troublous times. There's a lot we can talk about here. Of course, our point is to mention the fact that Gabriel prophesied of Jesus Christ. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. God brought his son into the world at the exact moment, in the exact way that he had planned it. You know, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so this announcement of Jesus' coming was intended for a purpose. The announcement of Jesus' coming was intended for several purposes. Some of them we just talked about. One of them, though, also was this: to bring peace to troubled hearts, both in those days and still today. This is a Sunday night crowd, and if you don't know you're saved tonight, I want you to know you can be. This isn't a salvation message tonight for sure, but if you don't know 100% for sure heaven is your home, this is why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on the cross, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect sinless life, to set an example for us as believers, to establish himself as God's son and to manifest the glory of God, and then to die for the sins of the world, and to and he died, by the way, right? I mean, he was dead, and he rose again 3 days later. And for those who put their faith and trust in him as the personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you don't know for sure you're saved tonight, you can be sure. Can be sure. But that's not really the message tonight. The message for us as Christians tonight is that when you understand the, and we just talked about how miraculous this is, this message, when you understand the miraculous message of our Savior and Prince of Peace, you can, when you realize who he is and what he's done, and the fact that he has purpose for your life, it'll bring peace in your life. And I want to consider some things tonight. First of all, we've been talking about it, but I guess point number one would just be notice the message of peace. In verse 26, back in our text, verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, the Bible says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not, I'm sorry, that's chapter 2. We preached about that this morning. Chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Notice that Gabriel was sent at a specific time. It was in the sixth month to a specific place, a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a specific person, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And just as the name of Gabriel, the angel's name, was not mentioned in random, neither was the place, neither was the time, and neither was the person whom the message was brought to. These weren't random things or random details of this announcement by any means whatsoever. There was nothing significant about Nazareth. This isn't where Jesus was born, but this is where the message was brought. And a small, poor Jewish village, no trade routes, no economic significance whatsoever in the region, nothing like Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be a central hub, a location. Even Bethlehem would have been more pronounced. I know that Bethlehem is considered the least among the cities, and little Bethlehem referred to in Malachi, but at the same time, there was more to that city than there would have been in Nazareth. But it wouldn't have been a fit place, not only for the birth, although Christ wasn't born there, but really, I mean, it'd be like, why would God come to, I mean, think about this, why would God come to Leavenworth, Kansas? I mean, what's so great about Leavenworth, Kansas, you know? And so why would, if you put yourself in their shoes, why would God come to somebody in Nazareth? And so, but it reminds us that God is not looking for accomplishments of man's doings. He's looking for people with a heart for him. He's looking for somebody who is going to be completely yielded to God. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I was in my office just moments ago praying. Just on my knees, just praying for God's help tonight on the message. And he knowing who he's going to bring to church. Just felt insignificant. And I just kind of expressed my heart to the Lord and just said, God, I'm not worthy to preach your word. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. And I was reminded as I'm preaching, preparing this, I had this verse in mind as I was planning to preach this. And God, as I'm praying to God later on just about the nights, and God reminded me, you dummy, think about the verses that you're using in the message tonight. He doesn't choose the noble. He doesn't choose the mighty. He doesn't choose many wise men after the flesh. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In Nazareth, God found a woman completely yielded to his purpose. I wonder if God can look in Leavenworth, Kansas, and find somebody here in Northwest Baptist Church who is completely yielded to God's purpose for their life. God's not looking for somebody with all sorts of gifts and abilities and talents and strategies and plans and programs or all these training or anything like that. God's looking for somebody who's completely yielded to his purpose. God reminded me of that just 40 minutes ago in my office. Are you completely yielded to his purpose? You've got to answer that question. Not out loud, just answer it in your heart. Are you completely yielded to his purpose? That's who God was looking for. Something is emphasized in the question Mary asked of Gabriel in verse 34. She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In the question, what's emphasized, not that Mary was, she wasn't boasting, she wasn't being prideful, but this message was given to a person who was morally pure. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We live in a society where commitment to purity is mocked, isn't it? And immoral lifestyles are glorified. The media is a driving force in the thought, the mentality, the thought life of society today. The Bible, though, emphasizes that Mary was a godly woman who can serve as an example to young women today. 1 Timothy 4:7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Mary wasn't financially set up, or she wasn't unique socially, but she was a ready vessel for bringing the Son of God into the world. And I emphasize this because there's something very important regarding the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? It was prophesied that Christ would be born to a virgin, and so Christ was born to a virgin. That's a big deal. We'll talk about that maybe more in detail in the coming weeks regarding the importance of the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ had to be not the blood of man, but he's God's Son, the blood of God, pure, spotless, sinless, without any kind of error in any way whatsoever. So he had no human father. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, I thought the title of the message was Submitting to God's Will Brings Peace. Yeah, see, God sent Gabriel to Mary, and God had a plan and a purpose. And he said, these things are going to happen, Mary. And Mary's last words were, behold, verse 38, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed under her. Now, I don't want to say what the Bible doesn't say, but my imagination is my imagination, and I wonder, what if she didn't have a submissive spirit? What if she would have said, no, that's impossible. What do you mean? I'm not a man. I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a son? That doesn't make sense. What if her attitude would have been, okay, you've told me your will, but I'm not going to submit to your will. I'm not going to speculate and say what the Bible doesn't say, but I'm just saying this. I see somebody who's going through something. Now, we all have faced things that other people have faced, and some of us have faced things that maybe you don't know anybody else has faced exactly what you're facing, that kind of thing. Mary was facing something that no one in the world has ever nor ever will face. Would you agree? Absolutely. This could have been very troubling. And at first it was kind of hard to take. She was facing a situation that, well, you've prayed for the peace of God in your hard times, haven't you? You prayed for the peace of God in your difficulties and challenges. You've prayed for the peace of God in your And what you're facing, maybe it's a job change, maybe you change churches, maybe you your family is going through a situation, maybe a health situation, maybe the loss of a loved one, or your finances have just plummeted, or there's a lot of different things. Maybe you just needed God's peace through some turmoil, through some difficulties, through something that hurt you in a significant manner. And listen, if you needed God's peace in those things, I'll tell you what brings peace in those situations is when you see God's will, you accept God's will, you submit to God's will, and even though it might not be your will, but you realize it's God's will, when you submit to God's will, you will have peace through something that's not naturally peaceful. And Mary had this positive outlook on it at the end of the story. Be it unto me according to thy word. Okay, God. All right. Not my will, but thine be done. Sounds like she had the same mindset that Jesus had. Look at verse 31, if you would. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This was the greatest news the world would ever hear. I know you've heard it since you were a little kid. And so we get ho-hum about it sometimes. It's mundane. Here we go again. More Christmas songs, more Christmas decorations. You know, don't want to decorate my house, and I don't know that that's important at all or not, but, you know, my mom might not have decorated her house. I don't know if she would have or not if we didn't have an army of people go over there and help her. Now, what's wonderful about my mom's decorations is that she doesn't have anything that matches. I mean, it's not like she has a theme of things. And so it was always fun for me as a kid to decorate in the house, because I could just decorate however I wanted to on certain things. I mean, she was particular about some things. But so there was an army of people that went over, and I wasn't there with that army of people, but I imagine Mom was kind of sitting back going, okay, I like to help, but wow, what's going on here? She didn't tell me this, girls. She didn't tell me this, but then she's like, okay, well, it's done. Now, the problem is the army's not going to be there to help you take it back down. and put it away because they're going back to Oklahoma City. But you know, we have all these things that go on that are routine, and maybe your mindset is, I don't really want to do this Christmas thing. And it's okay, that's fine to have that attitude with certain things that really don't matter in light of eternity. If somebody doesn't want to put Christmas lights on the outside of their house, then no, I don't care. But we don't need to get that way when it comes to actually what Christmas is all about. And just because it's familiar to us doesn't mean that it shouldn't be impactful to us. It doesn't mean that it should take away from the power. Familiarity of something in the Word of God shouldn't take away from the power of it in our lives. Because it used to be amazing to you. It used to be awesome. Because this was the greatest news the world would ever hear. And it was certainly the most important news Mary had ever been given. She would never be given news this important ever again. But if you put yourself in her shoes, you can kind of understand why her response at first wasn't peaceful or joyful. Verse 34, how shall this thing be? You know, often when God is working in our lives, we aren't necessarily going to understand what's going on. When God's working in your life, you're not necessarily going to understand how he's about to work. Come on, anybody with me on this? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, God, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this here? This is hard. God, this is a struggle. I heard about some struggles this afternoon. Heard about some struggles after I got to church tonight. Some struggles. And we don't necessarily understand the whys or the hows or the reasons behind certain things, but they can be troubling. Sometimes God's ways seem to be troubling. But Joseph had a choice, and so does Mary have a choice here in this story when facing a troubling time. She could trust her own reasoning. She could trust her own way of thinking. She could trust her own abilities. Or she could trust God's word. You say, well, if an angel showed up and talked to me, duh, it would make sense. I'd believe the angel. Listen, if you told me an angel showed up and talked to you, I'd think you're crazy. This wasn't a regular thing, even in that day. And so she had to determine, did I have bad, I don't know, what are they in the Jewish culture? I was going to say bad pizza, but, you know, did I have bad manna the night before? Well, that was gone years before. Or is this an angel talking to me? Is this my mind going crazy? Sometimes we don't think straight when it gets stressful, do we? Sometimes we don't say things that are appropriate or that we should say when it gets hard, even when you just had a little headache. Sometimes what comes out of your mouth is not what you wanted to say, and you wish you could go back and not have said it. We hurt people. James 3 talks about our tongue and the power of the tongue and how it can glorify God and how we can curse men all in the same breath of air. It's powerful. And oftentimes when things get stressful in our lives and things get difficult and things get challenging, we have a choice to make of whether or not we're going to trust God and what he's doing in our lives, or whether we're going to trust our own reasoning, our own thinking, and our own planning. She listened to the angel. She heard some things about Christ, though, that would call her and give her reason to worship. And I guess that would be point number two. Reason to worship. See, when you submit to God's will, you get peace. The message of peace is what we talked about first. And then when you submit to God's will, you see reason to worship. Okay, so then, Pastor, what are the reasons to worship? The angel told Mary that the baby's name was to be Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name means he will save. I love the name of Jesus. Just mention some verses here. Philippians 2, 9. We'll look at that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. You know, Jesus' name is known throughout the whole world amongst believers and non-believers. It's known. Not necessarily respected by all, not necessarily worshipped by all, but known. But knowing isn't enough. See, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, wherefore God hath highly exalted, also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the Bible declares the name of Jesus existed in eternity past and will continue forever. Revelation 22, 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Acts 4, 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. You know, his name is exclusive. His name's exclusive. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. So a name we should love, a name we should protect, a name we should exalt, a name we should get excited about. Although we live in a society that treats his name carelessly, it's a curse word, shamefully. Even amongst Christians who will, forgive me, say, oh my God. Just using that as an example just irks me. I'm almost embarrassed just to say that. Even amongst Christians, they will say those sayings. And then there are others who, non-Christians, who will take offense when Christians pray in Jesus' name. But my point earlier was our reason for worship. And the question is, okay, Pastor, what is my reason for worship? How does submitting to God's will give me reason to worship? And the reason, one of the reasons for worship is simply this, the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. No, the fact that he's present gives you reason for worship. See, when Mary heard the news of this wonderful name, she worshiped. You know, when you think about the name of Jesus, it should cause us to worship. If you're saved tonight, you have your temples, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. It's taking up residence in you, and that should cause us to worship. Mary, her fears were calmed as she was told more about this gift from God to the world. Look at Luke 1, verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. How many of you have a hard time buying a gift for somebody in your family? Anybody? There's some people that it's just kind of hard to buy stuff for. I'm not that way. It's easy to buy a gift for me. My wife's like, oh, really? Yeah, just go to Home Depot and buy something. I'm happy. You know? Go to Cabela's, point at it, and that's what I want. I'm happy. You know? And somebody's like, oh, I could get creative there. Okay, fine. I understand. But don't go to the women's clothing section, Cabela's, and buy me something. Okay? But I'll take it back and get the money and I'll go get what I want. You know, I'm not that difficult to buy for. Absolutely not. But you might know what it's like to spend time looking for that one perfect gift for your loved one or something that they've always wanted. Maybe they never realized that they wanted, you know, but it's perfect for them. You know, in all our searching and researching, sometimes you might get it right. And when you see them get that gift, it brings joy and excitement. into your face. And of course, sometimes you might get it wrong, but God knew us so well. God knew mankind so well that he knew exactly what we needed. And he sent the perfect gift, Jesus Christ. See, when you submit to God's will, it results in worship. And some reasons we have to worship him is, well, because just of the name of Jesus. If we think about it, we think about what that means, it should cause us to worship him. But you also think about the perfection of who he is. The perfection of the gift that God has given us, Jesus Christ. You think of the gift that was given to you. And when you give the gift of Jesus to somebody else by sharing the gospel with them, you can rest assured it's a perfect gift. You know what those people need that are going through hard times and difficult times and difficult situations? If they don't know Christ, I know that it would be great for them to be healed of their infirmity, but what they need more than that is they need Jesus Christ. That's the perfect gift for them. I know we want to put them on a prayer list and say, please pray for this individual because they are going through this hard time, and we do, we will. But listen, if they're not saved, they need salvation first. They need salvation first. It's possible God uses these situations to bring them to the place where they realize their need of a Savior, but they need salvation. You consider Christ's perfection, you're reminded of who he is. Listen, you serve an eternal God. He is 100% God, 100% man. The Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I believe that not only is it important that we understand that he's eternal God, but he's fully God. Not just part God. He's called God. Hebrews 1:6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flame of fire? But under the Son, he saith, God is saying to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. So I say all that to say this. When you're submitting to God's will, think about whose will it is you're submitting to. It's God's. So, wow, that was profound, Pastor. No, stop and think about it. A holy God, a perfect God, one who makes no mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. Mary understood that when this message was given to her. She understood, while the message doesn't make sense, it's not logical in our human reasoning, you're God, and I trust you. It brings peace. Submitting to the will of your Heavenly Father when you actually trust your Heavenly Father. Like a son, who it doesn't make sense to him to do something the way dad says to do it. But he finds out dad was right. And the fact that he was able to submit to the will of his father and see the result turn out the way that it needed to turn out brought peace. You're not submitting to somebody who makes mistakes. You're not submitting to somebody who is questionable. You're submitting to a holy, righteous, perfect God who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and who wants to give you good and precious things and wants to take care of you and pour his blessings out upon you. So when things get difficult, things get challenging, remember who it is that you're submitting to. Which brings us to that verse in verse 38 that we already talked about in Luke chapter 1. Where she said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. It's amazing that God would send his son to live a perfectly sinless life and give himself for all of mankind, just because he loves us. Yet people refuse to believe that. But we see a principle in Mary's life that we should duplicate. She chose to believe, and she chose to obey. Just keep believing and keep obeying.
You know what success is? Biblical success. Biblical success is finding God's will and doing it. That's success. Finding God's will and doing it. Hey, guess what? It is God's will that you're at church tonight. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's a verse right there that tells me God wants me to assemble together with fellow believers. That's God's will. And so you knew God's will. You obeyed it. That's success to a degree. And listen, it's God's will that you tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? That is God's will. How do you know, Pastor? I mean, we could quote verses, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Preach the gospel to every creature. Tell others about Jesus Christ. So success, I want to be a successful Christian. Well, then find God's will and do it. That would be God's will. That is God's will for you. Not just for the pastor, not just for a select few in the church, but for all of us in here. And I'm not pointing fingers because I don't know who's a witness and who's not. I have no idea. But I know this. I can point a finger at each one of you and say, it is God's will that you tell somebody about Jesus Christ. It is. And so success is finding God's will and doing it. I'm just saying, if you, listen, now listen, if you feel kind of uneasy when I say that, I'm not mad at anybody, but if you feel kind of uneasy when I say that, or if you feel kind of, like defensive, that's the opposite of peace. Some of you are at peace when I say that. And the reason you're at peace is because you tell someone about Jesus Christ, and because you tell people about Jesus Christ, that means that you knew God's will and you obeyed God's will. See, when I said it's God's will that you're at church, nobody felt uneasy about that because you're all here. Amen? Nobody felt uneasy about that. You're here. Oh, yeah. I'm at church. Now you should feel a little bit uneasy about your pride, but you know, and same thing with the soul winning aspect of it too. If you didn't feel uneasy when I said you should tell something about Jesus because you told me about Jesus, don't go, yeah, I got that covered. Careful. That's pride. But we should tell people about Jesus. Amen? Amen. We should. Brother Joel, should I tell people about Jesus? Absolutely. He's like, yeah. If you didn't tell me about Jesus, Pastor, I don't think we'd want you to be our pastor. Yeah, agree. But the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. And so when Paul told Timothy to be an example of the believers, there's some maybe extra expectations on Timothy for sure, but he's an example of the believers, which means that all believers should be doing what Paul is telling Timothy to do. And so it's really no different. See, you're at peace when you're doing God's will. You're at peace when you know God's will and you obey God's will. We ought to be reading our Bibles. Now, all of us could at a time say, oh, me. Woe is me on that one. Because, I mean, maybe you've read your Bible every day for the last 15 years, but I haven't. And I feel guilty when I don't. There's no peace there. No peace on that day. No peace in that time of my life where I've not been in the Word of God. No peace in my life when I've not been in prayer. I mean, I could, a lot of other things can be going well, but I still don't have peace in my life when I've not been spending time in God's Word. I've not been spending time in prayer. I like peace. It's nice. Amen? Oh, peace. I can't wait till my nieces leave because there's going to be peace in there. Oh, sorry. Were you right in front of me? I do. We all like that. It's one thing, reason I like to hunt. Who cares if I see a deer or not? I really don't care that much. I love getting out there in God's country when it's not, you know, 20 degrees outside. And just enjoying it. I do pray. I have read my Bible out there. I have spent some time with the Lord, you know, and thinking, okay, my eyes are closed and I'm praying. I'm not going to see the deer that walks by, but who cares, you know? See, she consented to God's will. And when she did so, she had peace. She consented to God's word. And when she did so, she had peace. Her choice came down to this. Was she going to trust God's word? Could she believe that everything would happen just as the angel said? Or was she going to trust herself? Go to 1 Kings 8:56, we'll close. Should have told you to leave your place in Luke 1, but 1 Kings 8:56, and we're going to close with these two thoughts right here. I love these words here. Blessed be the Lord that hath given, what's that word? Rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses. I'll go back to Luke 1:46. Mary praises God. She yielded herself to God. She had a front row seat to witness God's great work of bringing Jesus into the world. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode there with her 3 months and returned to her own house. Listen, as you're busy this season, quit looking at all that's around you. And you can't help it. There's things you have to look at, things you have to deal with, things you have to do. But as you're doing that, don't forget to start your day by looking up. Don't get lost in all the blur of everything going on that you forget what this season is all about. We need God's help. We need God's peace. You need God's rest. You need his joy. You need his goodness. You need his grace. You can't make it without those things.